Love one another as I have loved you. Alleluia. 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 The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You've heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first to be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court with him. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. The Gospel of the Lord. So we've been talking about throughout this pilgrimage, our pilgrimage here to Rome is meant to help us to understand more clearly and to receive the graces we need to fulfill the pilgrimage of earthly life. Pilgrimage toward not St. Peter's and St. Paul's tomb, but to Peter and Paul at the right side of Jesus in the celestial Jerusalem. And today, Jesus in the Gospel taken from the Sermon on the Mount describes one of the conditions for us to be able to complete this journey, this Passover from death to life. Truly I tell you, unless your holiness, your righteousness, surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, which is the great charter of Christian morality, Jesus wants us to learn how to live by his standards. Today he tells us that our standards, his standards, need to surpass that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Scribes and the Pharisees' standards were all dependent on their own action, but their actions were pretty impressive. The Pharisees prayed 3 times a day. They fasted 2 times a week. They gave 10% of all that they had over to the needs of God. The scribes knew every littlest letter of sacred scripture. And Jesus is saying that our standards must be higher than those. And said in 2 ways. The first is our standards need to be to allow God to do his work in us rather than so much our doing what we think his work is. But then at the same time, to know that God calls us to real greatness. As we were talking about yesterday, looking at Our Lady, to the real greatness of someone who hears the word of God and obeys it, who becomes great in the kingdom by following what God asks and by teaching others to do the same. God hopes that at the end of this pilgrimage, we will have seen a little bit more clearly his standards and be compelled from the inside out to respond to the grace he gives us in order to accomplish them. The first is the scribes and the Pharisees. The second set of standards that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount are the standards of the pagans. He says that the pagans love those who love them. There's nothing all that unusual in that. But he wants us to love even our enemies, to pray for our persecutors, to do good to those who write nasty, calumnious articles about us, to those who out of envy speak negatively about us, to those who make it their point in life to try to destroy our career or to damage our reputation. Jesus is calling us to exceed the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, worldly ways of doing things. And again, he's going to give us all the help he knows we need to do it. But we need that help, and we need to be helpers of others. You know, I apologize in advance that I'm going to do this, but I think it's worth saying. Today on this feast of Saint Barnabas, we need to focus on what he did in the church so that we can become more like Barnabas. And we have a Barnabas in our presence, in Ian Corkery. And she has a Barnabas in Neil Corkery. And we've all profited a great deal by their fulfilling this mission. And what is it? The name Barnabas means son of encouragement. Someone who goes and fills another with strength, gives another an opportunity really to grow, not just at the level of a career, making straight the paths, but at the level as a Christian, as a human being. What do we see in the life of St. Barnabas? After Paul had converted on the road to Damascus, and he had to escape because he was refuting all the Jews there in Damascus, such that they had to lower him out, outside a window in the wall, just so that he wouldn't be assassinated, when people had said that they would never eat again until they had murdered him. He escaped to go up to Jerusalem. And he thought when he got to Jerusalem that the people would be excited at his conversion. They weren't excited at his conversion at all. They couldn't believe, even in the Lord's grace, that the one who used to murder Christians was now wanting to make Christians. And so he was ostracized in the community. And then was Barnabas, who had already sold his farm and laid the proceeds at the foot of the apostles to distribute to his new family members as was most needed. It was Barnabas who went out and found Paul, talked to Paul, and then he went and intervened with all the apostles to tell them what the Lord had said to Paul on the road to Damascus and how much St. Paul was doing for the Lord. He was the one who made that connection, the one who was bold enough to give somebody that chance and to put his own reputation on the line. And so the church community, because it trusted in Barnabas, grew to trust Paul, and Paul was strengthened. And there in Jerusalem, he started to refute all those who used to be his colleagues trying to extirpate the Christian sect. But he did such a good job that there again, people took a vow to kill him. And St. Paul, I think, would have been happy to be a martyr for the faith at that time. But God had other plans, so the Christians said, just go back to Tarsus. Just go back. And so they helped him to escape. Eventually, as we see in today's first reading, the church grew so much in Antioch that Barnabas was sent there to encourage. And it was growing so much that he knew he needed help, and he knew where he could find it. So while Paul was still making tents, Barnabas went on a long journey to find him there in Tarsus and said, "We need you." And Paul left Tarsus behind and came and with Barnabas for a year formed those new Christians. And then as we see at the end of today's reading, the Holy Spirit spoke out, said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." They fasted and they prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them off. And the rest, in a sense, was history. And St. Paul would become far greater than the son of encouragement who on both occasions gave him those opportunities. He was a catalyst for all that St. Paul did. We thank you, Neil. We thank you, Anne, for being a catalyst for so much of the good that we have done. We pray that God reward you like he rewarded Barnabas. And for all of us, after all that they have done, God wants to help us to become Pauls.